Live from GPB News, we're presenting you special coverage of the memorial service for former governor and United States Senator Zell Miller. The service is taking place at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church in Buckhead here in Atlanta. Governor Miller died last Friday morning in his home in Young Harris in the North Georgia Mountains. He was 86 years old. He served as governor for two terms, gave the state the lottery, the Hope Scholarship, pre-K, and when he finally left the governor's mansion, was seen as one of the most popular governors in the history of the state. I'm joined here for our coverage. I'm Bill Nygut. I'm joined by my longtime Political Rewind associate, Jim Galloway, the lead political writer for the AJC, and also by former WSB-TV anchor John Pruitt. Three presidents, three former presidents will be speaking today, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Jimmy Carter. Gentlemen, as we wait for the service to begin, welcome to both of you. Jim Galloway, we can see the audience or the congregants who have gathered. This is quite a crowd assembled here today, beyond the presidents.
Right, you can hear in the background the organ prelude. We saw Bill Clinton be seated, Jimmy Carter, and George W. Bush. It kind of reminds you of just the crucial role that Zell Miller played in each of those men's career.
John, it's interesting that Zell Miller is the only person to give a keynote speech at both the Democratic National Convention, which he did, of course, for his good friend Bill Clinton in 1992, and then in 2004 at the Republican National Convention for George W. Bush.
And each of those speeches did attract a great deal of attention. The 1992 keynote for the Democratic Convention began with Miller saying, "Listen to this voice." And he said, "This is a voice that's more barbed wire than honeysuckle." And he admitted his Southern roots, his Appalachian roots. And that, to me, says a lot about Zell Miller. He never shied away from where he came from. And he was able to accomplish so much by never forsaking that mountain heritage and helping people who come from the rural South have opportunity. By the same token, in 2004 at the GOP convention, well, that was a speech probably more memorable in terms of the fiery rhetoric and the attack on John Kerry. Who can forget that? And I think that Zell Miller probably had some regret about the way that speech was delivered and the reaction to it. I think he looked back and felt maybe it could have been done just a bit better.
Yeah, Jim, he did feel that by 2004... the Democratic Party had sort of deserted him. He felt it had become more liberal than he preferred it to be, remembering that he was a conservative Democrat from the South. So to some extent, his decision to speak on behalf of George W. Bush did have to do with ideology. But John's probably correct that he took it all the way that night.
Yeah, he did. He had that famous confrontation with MSNBC's Chris Matthews, which he later told me that he was very embarrassed by. This is where he almost challenged him to a duel. And he spent the remainder of his life kind of trying to rebuild those bridges that he burned.
So let me quickly point out that we now have the two celebrants for this service entering the sanctuary. The service will be performed by Bill Britt, who is the senior pastor now at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. But John, the senior pastor emeritus, as we watch Zell Miller's flag-draped coffin come into the sanctuary, is Don Harp, who has a special relationship to Zell Miller, doesn't he?
Indeed, because Don Harp is from Young Harris. And Don Harp is a distinguished pastor of this church, a civic leader, a wonderful man, and I think that is why we're here at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church for a special occasion.
Zell Miller's casket now being brought to the front of the sanctuary. It is the pallbearers are all members of the Georgia State Patrol. And they're doing this as a body. They're not being identified individually. It's a tribute essentially saying, we are all here for you, Governor Miller, all of us in law enforcement. Jim, we're now seeing the family enter and the front couple of rows of the sanctuary.
I just saw Keith Mason, former chief of staff for Miller when he was governor.
Yeah, and of course, we'll soon see Shirley Miller, who his widow now, and there's a governor, former Governor Roy Barnes and his wife Marie have just walked in.
And Joe Frank Harris.
Joe Frank mm-hmm. Harris. But Shirley Miller was without question a guiding influence in his life. John, she was always willing to say, You're the star of this family. I will be in the background.
But he was always more than willing to give her credit for more or less paying the bills and backing him. She had a banking background.
But she was more important. I mean, she was the person who would go in there and smooth out the rough feelings that Zell Miller left behind.
Which he did often. I mean, this is a somber occasion, a funeral, but one in which we can acknowledge that Zell Miller's extraordinary public career also included his willingness at times to be a hardball player in politics. I just saw Paul Begala, one of the consultants who, along with James Carville, led his 1990 gubernatorial campaign, and later on we'll get a chance to talk about that role. It looks to me as if Don Harp is about to speak. Let's listen. Again, we're coming to you from Peachtree Road United Methodist Church, the service of Zell Miller. That's not Don Harp, is it, John?
No, Don Harp sitting down in the background there.
The pastor waiting for the assembled congregants to settle down. Yeah, it's, I think, yes, Pastor Bill Britt, of course, who will lead this service. Jim, with three presidents of the United States all in attendance, it occurs to me as we wait for Reverend Britt, this is the sort of assemblage you expect to see when another president passes away.
Exactly.
What an extraordinary honor that three former presidents wanted to be there. The honor guard of Georgia State Patrolmen are now standing on three sides of Zell Miller's casket and saluting him, white-gloved Georgia State Patrolmen. And now they are preparing to exit from the front of the sanctuary, and now we should hear Reverend.
Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, you will live also. We have gathered in this holy place this morning to praise God, to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Zell Bryan Miller. There's an old saying, if you know who you are, you will know what to do. And without question, Zell Miller knew who he was. A man of faith, a man of great hope, and a man of great compassion for others. He knew who he was, and he knew what to do. And what he did is live an extraordinary life. Reverend Harp and I have stood with families on occasions like this, such as this, many, many times before. But today is different, in some ways more difficult, because Zell Millers just don't come along every day. When Zell was governor, he and Miss Shirley often worshiped here at Peachtree Road. One Sunday, Reverend Harp had invited a good friend of mine to preach in this church. And he told him, when he leaned over and whispered to him when they got into the chancel area, Zell is here today. My friend leaned over to him and said, where is he? He said, up front and a little to the left. My friend Sam said, I know that, but where is he sitting? Well, today, Zell Miller is up front and in the center. We have come together from many different perspectives in life and spectrums to honor a man who has lived a life of public service and given us hope. We are honored to have some who knew him best in this life to come and to help us celebrate. His grandson, Brian Miller, will be speaking. He is the CEO of the Miller Institute, and he is carrying along his grandfather's legacy. We're delighted to have former presidents, President George W. Bush, President Bill Clinton, President Jimmy Carter. We are also delighted to have his former student, his pastor, and his longtime friend, Dr. Don Harp. They will be speaking and helping us to remember this life well lived. It is reported that Pablo Casals once had a young cellist play for him and asked for feedback from the master. He listened to the young cellist, and when he had finished, Casals' critique was spoken in simple eloquence. You hit all the right notes, but you didn't play the music. Zell Miller not only hit all the right notes, but he also played the music. And a lot of the music that he loved will be sung and heard in this place today. And so I invite you to follow along in your bulletin. Note the songs that we are invited to sing. They are family favorites that testify to the faith of the Miller family. We all will miss him. And on this day, we give thanks to God for this life that has been well lived. And so we come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. And we pray that God would grant us grace, so that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow we may find hope, and in death we may find resurrection. The opening hymn is number 62, All Creatures of Our God and King. We invite you to stand as we sing hymn 62.
We're going to be hearing music from the Peachtree Road United Methodist Church Chancel Choir, and at some point the Georgia Boys Choir.
Thank you.
may be seated. Let us join our hearts together in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning with hearts full of gratitude. We are grateful for your love for us, for the grace that is offered to us through Jesus Christ, and for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. We read in the scriptures that if we go to the top of a high mountain, we will find that you are already there. And if we descend to the depths of the deepest valley on earth, the scriptures tell us that we will find that you are already there as well. And that helps us to understand that you are here with us in this place and in this time. And we are grateful. We come here today not only to grieve the loss of Zell Miller, but also to give thanks to you for his life among us. We are gathered here today not only to mourn over how different our lives will be without him, but to give thanks to you for how full life was when he was with us. We have gathered here today not only to consider the shortness and uncertainty of life on earth, but to give thanks to you for the gifts of life and family and friendships. Lord, we ask that you would comfort us this day and that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon the Miller family. Undergird them with your loving arms. Draw us all closer to you and to each other. For we come together to share love and wonderful memories with each other. O Lord, we make this prayer in the name of Christ our Lord, the one who taught us to say these words when we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
That again is Senior Pastor Bill Britt at Peachtree Road United Methodist Church. We're bringing to you live the memorial service for former Governor and United States Senator Zell Miller. Jim Galloway, we should point out that the church is the cross, the large cross at the center of the church, is draped in purple. This is Holy Week. It's one of the most important weeks in the church.
No, it is the most important spot on the Christian calendar. Good Friday, of course, is coming up on us, and of course, Sunday will be Easter Sunday.
Okay. We'll watch the continue to watch the service as it unfolds. I'm here with Jim Galloway from the AJC and John Pruitt, former anchor from WSB-TV. We're listening now to a selection that's being sung by the Peachtree Road United Methodist Church Choir. John Pruitt, we're expecting in a moment to hear Governor Miller's grandson, Brian Miller, who is going to have words. In fact, he's approached
on behalf of our family.
Runs the Miller Institute.
I want to thank all of you for joining us here today. Over the past few days, we have mourned together the loss of one of Georgia's finest public servants. Our family has mourned the loss of our patriarch and beloved Paw Paw. I knew Zell Miller as his grandson, but our relationship went deeper than the normal bounds of that familial relationship. He was a mentor to me both personally and professionally. I gained more wisdom and knowledge from Zell Miller than any other person I encountered in life. A lot has been said these past few days about the legacy and public service he leaves behind. No doubt we will hear more about this legacy in the days, months, and even years ahead. But this morning, I want to focus on the individual, and I want to share the source of his great public and personal legacy. Zell was a teacher at heart. That title meant more to him than any other he obtained throughout his career. Whether he was in his home or your home, in the state capitol or in Washington, D.C., Zell was a constant learner and gifted teacher. Our family and those who were closest to him were blessed to graduate from Zell Miller University. I am confident he would not want this moment to pass without the opportunity to remind and instill in others what he valued as life's greatest lessons. And so please allow me to share a few lessons from my favorite teacher and what I believe he would want in his final lecture on life. On persistence, Zell once said, "Dare greatly, reject the rejection, and never, never give up." On loyalty, Zell wrote, "When I became governor, it was loyalty that kept me from getting a big head and making big mistakes. I always knew where I came from and where I was going back to." In the North Georgia Mountains, we have a saying, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you know one thing, join with me, it didn't get there by itself. Someone put it there. On respect. Consistent respect for ourselves and others will go a long way towards solving the many problems of society. On courage. No human attribute is more needed or more sadly lacking in today's climate of expediency and self-gratification than courage. Zell is a prolific writer. He constantly put pen to paper when he realized something he learned or thought that could benefit others. Some of that writing became laws that still benefit us today. Some of that writing became essays and books for us to study. And some of that writing became letters many of you have received that is just what you needed to hear. On his 70th birthday, February 24th, 2002, Zell wrote a personal letter to our family, I've got mine right here, that he entitled Some Lessons Learned by 70. It was 14 lessons Zell had learned by 70 that he wanted his family to know. Each one is just as important today as it was then, and I want to share them with you this morning. Number one, Do not be afraid to fail while going after something you really want. You will always learn from it. Never give up. Persistence will overcome everything else. I guarantee it. 2. If you listen more than you talk, you will not only learn more, but people will think you are smarter, not dumber, than you really are. 3. For every action, there is a consequence. Always. It can be a good consequence or a bad one, but it will come just as sure as the night follows the day. 4. Use frequently the words, I'm sorry, thank you, and I love you. 5. Being on time will be noted and will impress people. Being late is a very rude thing to do. It says to other people, my time is more important than your time. A person who is always late is a selfish person. Mark it down. 6. Being mentally tough will help you more in life than being physically tough. 7. Whiners are terrible people to be around. Don't be one. Ask yourself from time to time, am I whining too much? Blaming others for your own misfortune is the same thing and just as bad. 8. Notice and appreciate what makes your heart leap up. If nothing does, examine your life because something is missing. 9. Search for your niche. This may take years, although often it comes early in life. There is something out there that you can do better that no one else can. You have a knack and a talent for it. Find it. It's there. And keep in mind that other people have a knack and a talent for something that you don't. 10. From time to time, make yourself do something you don't really want to do. It will make you stronger. 11. Smoking will shorten your life. I've seen too many loved ones die because of it. 12. Family and home are important. One should know where he came from and who suffered or sacrificed to get us where we are. Having a sense of family and having a sense of place is going to be increasingly hard in this modern, fast-moving, ever-changing world. But if you do, it will bring you comfort and stability. 13. Those who teach lessons are not smart or know everything. They've just lived a long time. 14. Keep a good sense of humor and laugh at yourself more than you do others. Several books can be written on the lessons Zell Miller taught us. For me personally, some of the most important are these. Every person has a gift or talent that, when put to use, can make this world a better place. When you find yours, help others find theirs. The fruits of labor come only to those who first labor for the fruit. marry your best friend. If you're lucky, she will be your toughest critic. And finally, take what you want, saith the Lord. Take it and pray for it. This is by far the creed and the philosophy in which Zell Miller lived his life. He was an adult before he found out that that verse was not in the Bible, but it was in the gospel according to St. Bertie. In high school, and even when I was a student at Young Harris College, my grandparents and I would regularly attend Sharp Memorial United Methodist Church together. And afterwards, we would always have Sunday lunch, usually in the dining hall at the college. That was our thing. That was our special time together. And another chance for me to learn from my favorite teacher. When I graduated, my grandparents gave me a Bible. And in it, Zell wrote, "Some of the happiest moments of our lives have been when you sat between us in the pew at Sharp Memorial United Methodist Church." I keep this Bible in the desk in my office to remind me of some of the happiest moments of my life as well. Zell taught me how to be a good man, a citizen, a son, and a husband. Zell taught many of us how to lead and be a good friend. But most of all, Zell taught us how to live a happy life in service of others. May you rest in peace, my favorite teacher, my pawpaw, until we meet again. Thank you.
That was Brian Miller, one of three grandsons of Zell Miller. John Pruitt, you made an observation as Brian was getting up to speak. This is the Miller who inherited his father's probably his public speaking ability, and perhaps he'll be a political legacy for the family as well.
Well, one can only suppose. I know Zell would be extremely proud of Brian today. Brian runs the Zell Miller Institute, which is created to further the legacy of Zell Miller. So, politics in the future, who knows? But the Institute, Brian Miller will be actively commenting on candidates and policies that they favor or oppose based on the legacy of Zell Miller.
Jim Galloway, I learned something that I had not known recently. Brian Miller's wife is the daughter of one of Zell Miller's closest associates, political advisors and friends, Steve Wrigley. Steve was part of Zell's career all the way through it. Brian met his daughter. And over a long period of time, they were friends and finally had a courtship. And Brian told me a while back that they were terrified when they finally broke the news to Zell and Shirley and to Steve and his wife that they were actually a couple.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Of course, on the University of Georgia campus, we have the Zell Miller classroom building that's so huge. I mean, there's and Wrigley is now president of UGA. There is a tight circle that revolved around Zell Miller, and it does not surprise me at all that that there's some cross pollination there.
And we spoke of legacy, and certainly a centerpiece of that legacy is education. Education allowed Zell Miller to become the man he is today. His mom promoted education, and of course we have the Hope Scholarship, which really was brought about by the efforts of Zell Miller.
It was remarkable to see the three presidents, Carter, Clinton, George W. Bush, sitting side by side. Nathan Deal is also sitting there, and now George W. Bush, Bush 43, is about to address the congregation.
Murphy and Matt, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, governor, former governors, senators, congressmen, Laura sends her best. And I am honored that you invited me here today to help celebrate the life of Zell Miller, a great American. On the way over here, I was just thinking about how many governors of Georgia or anywhere had three presidents eulogizing his funeral. He's really one of a kind. I first met Zell in the early 1990s. We were both governors from southern states. We came from different backgrounds, but we hit it off because we had some things in common. We shared a belief in the importance of public education. We had a willingness to work across the political aisle, and we loved baseball. In fact, the man once known as Zip Zell, for his speed on the base pass, said his real dream was to be a big league shortstop. Thankfully, God made him a shaky hitter so he could find his calling in the big leagues of politics. Zell Miller became one of the great governors in the history of Georgia and is a principled member of the United States Senate. He was a man of honor and a faithful friend. In 2004, Zell Miller stood up to speak for me. Now it's my honor to speak for him. Zell was born 86 years ago to his mother, Bertie, and father, Grady, the dean of a local college and a state senator. Tragically, Zell's father died just 17 days after he was born. We can just imagine their heavenly reunion. When Grady asked his son what the past 86 years were like, I can hear Zell saying, "Daddy, have I got a story for you." Story starts with Bertie, Zell's mother. She built a house with rocks that she pulled from a nearby creek and worked tirelessly to support her children. As Zell once put it, "My mama didn't just do the best she could, she did the best anyone could." She instilled in Zell the promise of America and the drive to do his best. As Zell often remembered, she would point to the one paved road that led out of their mountain town and say, "You know what's so great about this place? You can get anywhere in the world from here." At age 21, Zell took that road to Parris Island to become a member of the United States Marine Corps. He said the experience made him into the man he became. He learned a lot. One of the things he learned was to be punctual. As the staff can tell you, Zell Miller was never late. That includes a meeting at Young Harris College in the summer of 1953 when he asked Shirley Carver to square dance. They were married a few months later, and for the next 46 years, this strong woman was a rock by Zell's side. Shirley helped cultivate some of Zell's diverse interests, and she tolerated some of the other ones. He's a country music fan. He loved the rodeo. His favorite restaurant was Waffle House. He also quoted Shakespeare and Byron and listened to Mozart. He once attended the Atlanta Opera in a tuxedo top and blue jeans. His mother was a painter who told him that art was the signature of the human race. He and Shirley developed a large collection of art and music, much of which they have donated to Georgia's museums. Zell followed his father's footsteps into politics. It's a decision I know a little something about. He was elected mayor of Young Harris, state senator, and four times as lieutenant governor. In 1990, the people of Georgia made Zell their governor. Nobody was better prepared for the job. At an inaugural reception at the governor's mansion, a guest told the new governor, "I've been waiting out there for 45 minutes. Zell said, "Man, I've been waiting for 16 years. Governor Miller did a lot of great things for the people of Georgia, and the people took note. When Zell finished his second term as governor, his approval rating stood at 85%. Take it from me, that's not typical for a politician leaving office. After decades of public service, Zell returned to teaching. But when Paul Coverdale suddenly died, Zell answered the call to serve out the rest of his term in Washington. I was elected president a few months later, and not what exactly was a landslide. I was eager to get some things done, and I wanted to find some Democrats I could work with. Thankfully, I found Zell. We worked hard on education reform and tax relief. While Zell was always a Democrat, he was never an ideologue. As he put it, you won't find average Americans on the left or on the right. You'll find them at Kmart. After the horrors of September the 11th, 2001, we became a nation at war. There was never a doubt where the Marine from Georgia Mountains stood. Zell was a steadfast supporter of our troops and measures to protect our homeland. 2004, Zell announced that he would support my reelection and offered to endorse me at the Republican convention in New York if I thought it would help. Darn right it would help, I told him. Because Zell had spoken at Bill Clinton's 1992 convention, he became the first person in American history to deliver the keynote addresses at both parties' convention. At mine, he electrified Madison Square Garden with his folksy, forceful speech, including his unforgettable line, asking how America's armed forces could be expected to defend our nation with spitballs. He also reminded the country about Wendell Willkie, a Republican presidential nominee who supported Franklin Roosevelt's military policy. Willkie said that if he had to choose between an epithet that said, "Here lies a president," and one that said, "Here lies one who contributed to saving freedom," he would prefer the latter. Zell went on to ask, "Where are such statesmen today?" The American people had to look no farther than Zell Miller. After the election, many politicians would have asked for something big in return for their support. Not Zell. He did eventually tell me he would like to serve on the American Battle Monuments Commission, a government agency charged with maintaining military grave sites. As Zell put it, "I'm just an old man looking after cemeteries." That was typical of Zell, a humble man who put service above self. He never forgot where he came from or where he was headed. As he said in his Senate farewell, "Everywhere I've ever been really was on my way back home." Shirley and members of the Miller family, thank you for sharing Zell with us. His life is a testament to all that is good and all that is possible in this country we love. There will never be anyone like Zell Miller, and he leaves an example that we need more of our political leaders to follow. He lived out the Marine Corps creed, semper fidelis, always faithful, faithful to our country, faithful to his family, and faithful to his faith. Now the boy from the Little Rock House has reached the top of the mountain, and we know he's home. May God bless you.
Former President George W. Bush. Jim, as I listened to him, I thought of this. We're going to hear from Bill Clinton in a couple minutes. But if Bill Clinton was his soulmate in many ways, two men from the South who lost their fathers at very early ages, in some ways, when you listen to George W. Bush, he sounds more like Zell Miller. He's got those kind of sharp cadences.
The rhythm is just right. You know, President Bush noted that that Zell was the only person who's ever made the keynote address in before both the Democratic and Republican National Conventions. There's one other uniqueness here. After that 92 address for Bill Clinton, Clinton offered to make him Secretary of the Navy.
Yeah.
And he declined. because he wanted to pursue the Hope Scholarship and implement that. After the 2004 speech on behalf of George W. Bush, Bush too offered him the Secretaryship of the Navy. He turned that down as well because he wanted to go home.
Yeah, John Pruitt, given his prominence in both the first and foremost the National Democratic Party, but then, you know, the way in which Republicans nationally felt about him when he began supporting their agenda, there was never any talk, to the best of my knowledge, about whether Zell Miller might want to make a presidential run. Of course, Sam Nunn was always the Georgian who was talked about. And as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, gee, I wonder what kind of candidate he would have made and why he never did have that ambition. It's pure speculation, of course.
Yeah, which primary would he have been involved in?
Well, that's right. That's part of the problem.
Although he stayed a Democrat all his life. It's amazing to see these three former presidents, and it reminds me of the sweep of history we are witnessing with Zell Miller's political career, beginning in the solid Democratic South back in the 60s, even the 50s, progressing through the era of transition when Republicans began to get power, and now an era of Republican dominance here in Georgia. And Zell Miller spanned the scope of that and was very active in each of the phases of it.
So all three of us covered him as journalists, got to know him pretty well. But you, of the three of us, covered him long before we did. You remember him from when he first lieutenant governor?
1972.
Before?
He was state Democratic Party chairman at the Democratic National Convention. That's where I got to know him.
All right. We're right now here with John Pruitt, Jim Galloway. We're about to hear from former President Jimmy Carter, who is making his way to the front of the church right now.